The mystery of God's amazing grace. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, says the New International Version. Why has such an innocent sounding phrase as born again caused so much division in the church? The phrase is rightly translated as born from above. If you read something like the more modern translations, it will use that translation. You must be born from above. But these two words, or at least the translation of that Greek word, has been argued about down through the centuries since Jesus said it. But what can we say about this new birth from above? Well, straight from scriptures, we can say it's a work of the Spirit. We can say it's a heavenly thing. And we can say, like the wind, no one can tell where it comes from or where it is going. So to that extent, it's a mystery of grace. The heavenly action of God's gracious Spirit does not depend on clever human understanding in order to be received or perceived. If that was the case, if it depended on clever human understanding, then Nicodemus, who was a very learned Pharisee and member of the Jewish ruling council, he would have been more enlightened when he came to Jesus in the dark of night. As it was, he may have left in the same darkness in which he came. Although, remember, like the wind, who knows what was going on in his mind and in his heart after that encounter with Jesus? We might believe that one touch from the king can change everything, and so therefore even an encounter in the dark with Jesus would not leave us untouched. Indeed, perhaps the Gospels suggest that Nicodemus didn't remain in that darkness, because if you read in John chapter 7, for example, we come across Nicodemus a second time. This time he's reminding his colleagues in the Sanhedrin that the law required that a person be heard before being judged. To that extent, Nicodemus is here standing up for Jesus in the face of false accusation and injustice. He spoke out when he could have remained silent and just gone along with the crowd. That would have been the easy option, to just go along with the crowd, but he didn't. And then in John chapter 19, we see Nicodemus for the third time. And there he is with Joseph of Arimathea preparing the dead body of Jesus for burial. So something surely had happened or was happening to Nicodemus. So was that birth from above? Well, it sounds like it, doesn't it? It sounds like the Spirit, the heavenly Spirit of God, was at work in him. Jesus' words and Jesus' whole life must have got to Nicodemus, and he couldn't shake it off. Love was at work in him. When John was writing his gospel, he realized that God had sent his son for a reason. God had sent his son Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, as many believed, but to save the world through him. John could see that God's intention was love, that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have life eternal. And so it's a mystery of amazing grace, because fullness of life does not depend on any good works that we may have done or on any religious status that we may have acquired. No, it's all undeserved favor. It's all grace, the grace of God. Everyone who believes may have eternal life. Well, we don't always know whether or not someone else is believing or not, do we? The Spirit is like the wind, remember. We can't see it, but we can usually see its effect, but not always. Sometimes it's a very gentle wind that's blowing, and you can't really see the effects of it. I have no doubt that my eternal salvation is assured. However, that doesn't always ensure that I'm always living with faith-filled eyes, always believing, always seeing the kingdom of God. Some days it's just not easy. Some days are easier than others. Sometimes we miss opportunities to enter into the kingdom of God here and now. Sometimes we get distracted and we need something or someone to remind us of who we are. That's a big reason why it's important that we exist as a communion of saints, that we come together regularly to strengthen one another in faith, that when one of us is down, there is another to pull us up again, that there might be a friend there with the words, "Shall we pray about it?" I think God works through the body that way. From above, then, is to begin to think in a whole new way, with a heavenly mindset, with a Christ-centered worldview, to begin to think with hope and faith and in love. I think in order to understand and embrace the things of God, we need to, like Nicodemus, have our minds expanded, enlarged, changed. That's what it means when Peter addresses the crowds at Pentecost, for example, and says you need to repent and believe. It meant to start to think differently and to start to live differently. It's like when the teacher of the law in Luke chapter 10 comes to Jesus and says, "What might I do to inherit eternal life?" Or in other words, "How can I find life which is flourishing?" And Jesus tells him a story that would have blown his mind. A Samaritan coming to the aid of a Jew whilst the religious ones walked on by. Enemies turning out to be the best neighbours. Who'd have heard of such a thing? It must have sounded like heresy to those who thought they knew better, to those who refused to let their minds see things differently. Jesus has called us, brothers and sisters, to begin to see things differently, to have our minds expanded, to see Christ in all things, to see the kingdom of heaven coming, enlarging, consuming in a work of new creation. And the root of all of this lie in the unfailing love of God. As John puts it, "For God so loved the world." That's the starting point. Our core of who we are is love. That is our true essence and who we are called to be. And love is luring us forward and drawing the whole world into one infinite fullness, which will not fail. As always, the question for us will be, will we believe it? Will we be like Abraham, who is commended for his belief? He was able to believe what he couldn't yet see, as if he already could. As Paul puts it in Romans 4, Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous. That's the new basis of our relationship between people and God. All we're asked to do is to believe. So in the midst of a world where there is so much to be fearful of, coronavirus, climate change, financial collapse, terrorism, global warfare, we're called to have faith in the God who brings the dead back to life and who brings into existence that which didn't exist before. God can deal with all of these things. God can transform them completely. God's perfect love will drive out all fear. Will we live today knowing that, believing that, and doing all we can together to help bring God's heavenly ways into our community, into our family, into our world, which groans for things to be better and rejoices when renewal comes? God raises the dead and calls into being things that are not. That is the solid basis of our hope in this life and in the life to come. And that is a reason for us to rejoice together and to be at peace with God, with ourselves and with one another. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for the mystery of amazing grace. We thank you that you haven't made it difficult for us to enter life everlasting. All we need to do is believe. And so, Lord, wherever there is doubt in our life still, help us by the presence of your Spirit to overcome these. Help us to encourage one another in faith. And help us, Lord, to see your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.